My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and take notes. This week's notes are from the meeting on June 16th, 2021. First off, the mayor's report. The Luce Bayou Interbasin Transfer Project is complete. Mayor Turner gave careful attention to this today. This $381 million project is the culmination of over 50 years of work and will direct water from the Trinity River to Lake Houston, where the Northeast Water Purification Plant will get it ready for Harris County and Fort Bend County users. After the 2011 drought, the Texas legislature provided funding and work began in 2017. The Luce Bayou Interbasin Transfer Project is the largest water project in the country, and Mayor Turner alluded to its relation to today's agenda item 37, a water rate increase, which we will get to later. There is a law enforcement summit happening today, Wednesday, with many regional and federal agencies to address the rise in crime. Participants include HPD, local sheriff and constable precincts, Metro, DPS, TABC, and many more. Mayor Turner also advised all Houstonians to keep their eyes open, exercise caution and awareness, and to, quote, be mindful of the company you keep, end quote. Free vaccines are ongoing. Mayor Turner mentioned two locations he was at on Saturday to encourage people to get vaccinated, Prospect Park and a Zydeco event, which are not exactly the clubs, but we'll take what we can get. Seriously, though, these things are free and save lives, so please, please go get one. I want to start off with agenda item 37, which is a rate increase for waste and wastewater services. This took up the majority of the meeting today, and I know a lot of you who don't own homes might think that maybe you can ignore this or breeze through it, but I do think it's applicable because you want to pay attention to reasons why your landlord could potentially raise your rent. So I recommend reading the notes and listening to them and just being aware of what it means for you, even if you are a renter. So here's some background. As we are all unfortunately aware, flooding in Houston often causes sewage to back up, causing contamination of local streams and waterways. This violates the Clean Water Act, and in order to avoid legal action through the courts, the city has been in negotiations with the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, since the time of Mayor Anise Parker. In April of this year, a deal known as a consent decree was finally reached. This consent decree says that Houston must spend $2 billion over the next 15 years to update and manage the city's water and wastewater facilities to prevent sewage overflows. Mayor Turner likes to repeatedly remind us that his administration negotiated this down from the original proposal, which was $5 to $7 billion over 10 years, so let's all send him a thank you card. But money doesn't grow on trees, you know, so the city is planning to increase the water rate that residents pay incrementally over the coming years to cover the cost. Agenda item 37 would have approved an ordinance to increase the water rate effective July 1st, but that didn't happen. At least not today, because it was tagged by literally every council member, including Mayor Turner. A long discussion took place during the mayor's report. Here are a few facts that they were throwing around. The city has not seen a water rate increase besides the annual adjustment for inflation and population growth since 2010. The city is only allowed to charge residents for the actual cost of water services provided. No profit is made. I don't know if this is federal or state law. I'm just not sure. The rate increase will take place slowly over the next 5 years. The start date of the rate increase is tentatively July 1st, but that is not firm and the city is looking into pushing it back. Even with the rate increase, water and wastewater service in Houston will still be cheaper than most other cities. And you only pay for what you use. So if you pay a water bill, now might be a good time to get it out and look it over. Of course, council members had things to say about all of this water talk. Mayor Turner and Arturo G. Michel, the city attorney, both pointed out that there will be heavy fines if we do not comply with the consent decree, that could go up to $100,000 daily. Turner pointed to the water main leaks during Winter Storm Uri as an indicator that our water system desperately needs updating. He also pointed to Texas's power grid failure during Uri and the blackouts this week as another example of what happens when we don't invest in our infrastructure. Councilmember-at-Large Mike Knox seemed supportive of the increase, but said we need to be transparent about it with Houstonians, and you know what? I agree. I read the FAQ that was attached to the agenda item, and I didn't see anywhere an actual percentage increase or what percentage we can expect annually. There was a table with an example of what we can expect our water bills to look like, but that was it. DM me if you want to see the FAQ because it was really helpful, and I will send it to you. The FAQ sheet did say that 60% of Houston households on average would see an increase of about $5 a month. Councilmember Martha Castix Tatum of District K asked for a one-pager that CMs can disseminate, and I'm looking forward to seeing that also. Yet another reason to sign up for their newsletters if you haven't already. And one more anecdote from Turner on deferring maintenance. The King and Queen of Uganda visited Houston recently, humble brag. But then they got stuck in the elevator at City Hall for 15 minutes, which is not something to brag about. So the moral of the story is we need to spend money to fix things. I got stuck in an elevator once and it was not fun. Moving on to some other agenda items. Agenda item 8 approved a 4% housing tax credit for an affordable housing development in Westwood/A-Leaf. Agenda item 16 established Freedmanstown Heritage District, the first area in Houston to get the designation, and this should help the Freedmanstown Conservancy with preservation and fundraising. Councilmember Abby Kamen of District C vocally supported, and Councilmember Tarsha Jackson of District B thanked the organizers who worked to make it happen, pointing out how special it is to vote on this during the week of Juneteenth. Councilmember Tiffany Thomas of District F said she looks forward to some Westside Heritage designations in the future. Councilmember Robert Gallegos of District I asked if there's a way to use the heritage distinction to raise funds for historic cemetery maintenance, and Mayor Turner said they would look into it. Agenda items 17 and 18 would have sent TERS money to the city's Affordable Housing Fund, but were both tagged by CM Knox and are on hold. CM Jackson spoke up to say that she would have voted no because the way in which the funds are divided up, quote, further divides the haves and the have-nots, end quote. She pointed out issues with how TERS money is used and how TERS operates and doesn't think TERS really gets money to where it needs to go. Mayor Turner responded with, fair enough. Agenda item 31 approved funding for an interlocal agreement between the City of Houston, Harris County, and the Houston Parks Board, LGC Inc., to start work on a detention-compatible park in Inwood. Councilmember Amy Peck of District A spoke up to reassure District A residents that there will be opportunity for public input. This is just getting the process going. Agenda item 36 approved spending for a drainage and street renewal project along Shepherd and Durham in District C. This will improve drainage, sidewalks, add bike lanes, accessibility ramps, traffic lights, and a lot more. CM Kamen said that she is aware that there's a gap between Washington Avenue and I-10, and they are working on it. Finally, some councilmember pop-offs. Many CMs introduced their new summer interns and mentioned Juneteenth celebrations going on this weekend. CM Thomas plugged the Tangle Wild neighborhood pop-up on Thursday evening. Reps from the local HPD will be there. The Mexican consulate is moving to West Chase, and she mentioned Piney Point, which was originally a freedman's town of its own on the west side. Councilmember-at-Large Sally Alcorn attended the ceremony for HPD's promoted officers yesterday and asked everyone to keep them in their thoughts during this upcoming summer. Councilmember-at-Large Letitia Plummer still has 25 spots open for her first annual Juneteenth bike ride this Saturday, a historical tour going from League City to Galveston and back again. CM Peck mentioned solid waste issues in District A and asked if they can at least be notified when delays will happen. Mayor Turner said that they would work on it. CM Kamen mentioned two Juneteenth events, a Yates Museum tour, reservations required, and an Olivewood Cemetery cleanup. Councilmember Ed Pollard of District J mentioned the Senate recently unanimously voted to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. CM Castix Tatum is hosting a Juneteenth computer giveaway on Saturday at Fountain of Praise Church. She said, quote, education is the passport to the future, end quote. And that's it. That was the meeting. I want to thank all of our Patreon supporters, and we have a couple new ones to mention this week. Thank you, Mandy Trischel and Robert Houghton. really means a lot that you guys want to support Emily Takes Notes. The Patreon is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes, and if you are able, we really appreciate it. You can find resources for this episode, including where to watch city council meetings so you could take your own notes, and how to find your city council member in the show notes as well. This week's episode was recorded by and has music from Joe Wozni. It is produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I'm Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.